The book of the Psalms is designed to reflect not only the truth, but the emotions that accompany the Lord's people on their journey through this world. Some Psalms have gained great prominence and are known for their powerful and infallible expression of human aspirations and human discouragements. We think of the psalm where David asks himself, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" There are psalms to read in those days when the blessings of heaven descend with apparent abandon, when everything seems well. There are other psalms to be read when the darkest trials of life confront you at what seem to be the unlikeliest of moments. Yet many people would profess that when it comes to the psalm that we have read together today, there is some quality to it that tends to set it apart. There are many for whom the precious words of this psalm call forth warm memories of childhood. So it is for me. My mother, who is now 84 years old, is losing her memory and other cognitive abilities to the ravages of Alzheimer's disease. But she has, by her own action, left to me and to my brothers a wonderful memory of a period in our lives half a century ago. In an upstairs room, in a townhouse on Blue Hill Road in Wheaton, Maryland, just outside Washington, with night having fallen outside, my mother sat with me and my younger brothers as we lay in our beds, ready for sleep. And night after night, she went through a very similar ritual that included, almost without fail, reciting to us the words of this psalm and singing songs about the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd. It is hard to count now the number of times when we heard her say the words of this psalm, even, I'm sure, before we could read. But after we heard them so many times, we knew them just as well as she did. Now, we might not have had a perfect understanding of how every one of the words was spelled, but we heard the words. When I read these words at a funeral service, or at a burial service, or in the pulpit of this church or any other church, my mind goes back to that scene and those memories. And no doubt there are others here who have similar memories. But there are others here who passed through their childhood years without any such experience, but who came to hear these words much later in life. And they have come to find them just as full of comfort and assurance as those who heard them from early days. That which comforts them the most is the clear message of this psalm that the Lord's people are not left alone. to make their way through this world, to deal with all of the trials and temptations of life. The words of this psalm emphasize the truth that the Lord's people have a place of shelter. They are sheltered in the arms of their shepherd, and by that shelter they are secure from all harm and all danger. This psalm has a lot to say about happiness and comfort, about contentment, about blessing. The world teaches us that the only way to happiness and contentment is through the things that can be gained, through the acquisition of money or fame or power, that unless you have those things, you cannot be content. And those who take their lessons from the world have convinced themselves that if they can just have a little bit more, their problems will be solved. And I dare say there are times when we buy into that philosophy and that thinking, if we can have just a little bit more, then our problems will be solved. But in the words of this psalm, we learn that only those who have the Lord as their shepherd will be free from all want. This psalm teaches us that there is a way in which to live in this world without the anxiety, the turmoil that seems to afflict so many. That way is not the creation of a moment. It's not a magical formula. It does not change from day to day, or even from one generation to the next. The words of this psalm set before us a great theme, a theme that I call satisfaction's enduring way. And I want you to think upon that theme with me this morning. You learn here how to live in peace. And here is the great desire of every life, to live in peace, to know what it is to be at ease. Not many people in the world know that. Those who want to know that contentment in their souls, but who have not trusted in Jesus Christ as he is offered to them in the gospel, are never going to be able to arrive at peace. So here's a word to them today. This is a psalm for you. This is a psalm that calls you away from your dependence upon your own devices and calls you to lay those aside and to trust in Jesus Christ. Those who know the Lord come to these words and find in them the way to a life that is free from care. You see, often carelessness is talked about as that which is to be avoided, but spiritually there's something to be said for a spiritually careless existence. Free from care. I want you to notice in the psalm this morning three aspects of this enduring way that are set before us. Let us notice, first of all, an individual relationship. Through the entire psalm, there is an emphasis on the psalmist as an individual. I want you just to look down through the psalm with me at the number of times when we encounter the first person singular pronoun. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Verse 3, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Verse 4, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table, in verse 5, before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Verse 6, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here is a psalm about you as an individual. There's a great emphasis on the individual relationship. And I want to emphasize it today. I don't think I can emphasize it too much. Because the problem that we have is we tend to lose ourselves. Never mind what other people do. We tend to lose ourselves in the crowd. We see ourselves as part of the church at large. And that's a good thing. We ought to see ourselves in that way. But we think of ourselves as not really mattering all that much. But in the words of this psalm, what we are being taught is that there is an individual relationship. Yes, there is a relationship between the Lord and His church. But each individual is related to the shepherd, so that everyone can go into the words of verse 1. Everyone who has trusted in Christ can say with the psalmist, "The Lord is my shepherd." And as surely as each individual is related to the shepherd, so the obverse is true. The shepherd is related to each individual. That is, each of the sheep knows the shepherd, and each of the sheep is known by the shepherd. And what is the basis of that relationship, that recognition? Well, it is the sound of the shepherd's voice. Let us turn to the Gospel of John in the New Testament and to the great chapter on the Good Shepherd, chapter 10. John chapter 10. Let's look at verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now notice the words of verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Now notice the next clause. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. That is a powerful statement. He calleth his own sheep by name. That is, he knows his own sheep by name. And I was just thinking of this the other day, that there's a powerful sense in which that applies to many people whose names are never known at all, not even by their parents. To those children who never come to birth, whether because they are murdered or because of divine intervention, they never come to birth. And whereas they may never have a name that is known, even in their families, the Lord knows them by name. And if that's true in those cases, it's certainly true in your case. If you are part of His flock, He knows you by name. He calls you by name. He cares about his people by name, individually. See, the devil plays the game of suggesting to you that really the Lord doesn't know you're, that no one knows you're even there. Least of all the Lord, as other people that he's more concerned with. But here, the language of this psalm teaches us that the Lord cares about his people individually. If you are his, he cares about you. He cares for you. One of the keenest memories I have from my growing up years in my parents' home, and I think I've said that this before, was the simple sign that from the earliest days that I can remember has always been hanging in the home of my parents and now in the home of my mother. And I'm sure when the time comes that she must move to an assisted living facility, that is one of the things we will take over there. A simple sign with one simple statement: Jesus cares. He cares about his people, and he cares for them. The problem is, you have your own life to lead. And you're aware that other people have problems, but somehow the problems that you face seem to be magnified because you are the one facing them. And you may arrive at the conclusion where no one really knows what's going on in your life, and worse, no one really cares. Elsewhere in the Psalms, the psalmist himself said, "No man cared for my soul." Well, if you come to that state, remember the words of verse 1 in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." And what is the great result of this relationship? The great result of this truth? Notice what the psalmist said in verse 1. "I shall not want." Meaning, I shall never be in want. Every provision that is required, everything that you need, the shepherd will see to it that it is going to be provided. And there comes to my mind just now the words of our Lord Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. Let's just look at these words. In chapter 6, and verse 25. Let's read beginning at verse 24. "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" All the disciples were concerned. How are we going to do this? What about all the needs that we're going to have? How are we going to carry on this work for Christ? And the Lord said, "I am your shepherd. I will care for you." The Apostle Paul knew the reality of this supply. They turn to the Epistle to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Dr. Colas was preaching from this passage last Lord's Day evening. Perhaps you remember some of what he had to say. Notice the words at verse 12. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Hopefully you remember Dr. Colas emphasizing those 10 words. But notice now the words of verse 18. But I have all and abound. This is a man writing from prison. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And what is he talking about? Well, some people would say, well, yes, that is referring to the spiritual need. Absolutely. But the God who looks after the spiritual needs of his people is not at a loss to deal with their physical needs. Now, you may not be wealthy in the way in which this world defines wealth. You may not be wealthy in the manner of Bill Gates, who, though he has so much money, is always looking for more. But you will have what you need. So the question is this individual relationship true in your life? Can you say with the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd? Now you can say it to me, but what I'm interested in is it true in your soul? Can you say without fear of contradiction today, the Lord is my shepherd? If you can't say that right now, there's a very direct remedy. Trust in Christ. Call upon Christ to save you. And then you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. If the Lord is your shepherd, then you can consider as well the reassuring words that follow verse 1 in the psalm. For now we come to the second thing. And that is an indissoluble rule. An individual relationship and an indissoluble rule. And by rule, I mean government. For the language of verses 2 through 4 in the psalm provides the description of what the shepherd does for the sheep. This is his work. Notice the succession of statements about the shepherd. What does he do for the sheep? He puts them, first of all, in green pastures. That is, he's looking after their needs to be fed, taking them to good pastures, to green pastures. Now, we can certainly identify with the attractiveness of green pastures. However, since we have come to Arizona, we've been driving about in the arid countryside. Sometimes we see livestock. They're grazing there. My wife always feels sorry for the cows because of what they're eating. And I have to assure her the cows don't know any different. They don't know about the other cows back there in Illinois and the green pastures that they're feeding in. All they know is that here's something to eat. But in our minds, we understand the appeal of the green pastures. The shepherd cares for his people by putting them in the places where they can feed. He leads them by still waters. That is, here the shepherd is providing for their refreshment. Sheep are afraid of anything that is turbulent. and especially when it comes to water. So the shepherd puts them where they will not be alarmed, where they will not be troubled. Notice in the words of verse 3, he restoreth my soul. Here we go far beyond the idea of a sheep as an animal. Here we're dealing with the sheep as the people of God. He restoreth my soul. In days of danger, he restores your soul. When you find yourself alarmed, when you look about you and you see what is going on, he restores your soul. He is the one who said to Peter after he caught him by the hand when Peter was said, "Lord, save me, I perish." He was sinking in the waves. The Lord caught him by the hand and they were immediately at the ship. And what was it he said to him? "Why did you doubt?" That was the Lord restoring him. As he did by the Sea of Galilee after the crucifixion and the resurrection. "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" The Lord was restoring him. He restores your soul in days of danger and fatigue and backsliding. We read here, he leads his sheep in the right paths. Or as we find it here in verse 3, in the paths of righteousness. Here's a glorious statement that the Lord leads his people in the paths of righteousness, in those paths that conform to his own law. The Lord doesn't lead his people into that which is against his law. He leads them in paths of righteousness. I must say, I get a little bit weary when I hear people who seem to be of a more charismatic bent of mind say that they did a certain thing because the Lord led them to do it, when it was clearly against the will of God. This shepherd does not operate in that way. He leads his sheep in the paths of righteousness. And notice it's for his name's sake that he does so. Everything that he provides to the sheep in the way of benefit is for his name's sake, is for the sake of his glory and his kingdom. Notice that we find here he stays with his sheep at all times. The words of verse 4 are words of comfort. Because the psalmist said, even in the day when he's called to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even in that dark day, whether it's the shadow that comes over you individually or a shadow that comes over someone you know, in that dark day, the psalmist said, though I walk through that valley, I will fear no evil. I will not be afraid of what the devil could do. Why? Because the shepherd is with him. That great image, and this is one of the images I think that struck me the most powerfully when I was a boy. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." When I was a boy, the rod and the staff, such as they were not usually means of comfort to me when they were employed by my parents. So this was an image that I had some time trying to get a hold of in my mind. The rod and the staff provide true comfort. And why do they provide that? Because they speak of the shepherd's reign over his sheep. They speak of the reality that the shepherd is not going to give up his sheep. So if you're among his sheep, that is your heritage. When you are in his flock, then you are not ever going to be alone. This reality is designed to be a source of confidence and satisfaction for you. The shepherd rules. That's what I mean by the idea of governs. He governs his sheep. Not as a tyrant, not as a dictator who is looking to hem them in. He governs them as a firm but gentle shepherd. And that rule will never be broken. It will never be overthrown. So that throughout life, you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. That leads us to the end of the psalm. An incomparable rest. An incomparable rest. We were singing just before we read the scriptures this morning of the exhortation to step out on the promise. That those who are in turmoil of soul have a promise given them. The promises of rest. Notice the language of verse 5, how vivid it is. Here's the scene. The enemies are gathered. The sheep is speaking here, if you will. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Sheep have enemies. Wolves. They are among the sheep's mortal enemies. And they're gathered around. For the attack. For the kill. But we read here in this word that while the prospects for deliverance seem to be grim, the shepherd in the presence of those enemies, when they are where the sheep can see them, he spreads a feast for the sheep. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Let us never forget that as the Lord's people, we have enemies. And the enemies are always circling around, looking for a weak spot, looking for an opportunity to pounce and to destroy. But we read here, the shepherd sees the enemies too, and he's not going to abandon his sheep to them. David said that the Lord anointed his head with oil. And that again is an Eastern image there. Speaks of refreshment. Speaks of cooling. Speaks of comfort. There's no denying the reality of the trouble. We can't just join hands and sit together and say, there's no trouble, there's no trouble, there's no trouble. There is trouble. There is trouble. What's more, there always has been trouble for the people of God. And there always will be trouble for the people of God. But here's the answer. In the presence of that trouble, the shepherd is there. And he is providing for his people. So we come to that memorable image at the end of verse 5. My cup runneth over. He's pouring out this great blessing. He's pouring it out. He's pouring it out so that the cup runs over. Now when I was growing up, we liked to see how full we could get our cups when we were trusted with being able to pour our own beverages. So we tried to see how much we could get in without it going over. And of course, being children, invariably we miscalculated, and before we could stop the flow of the beverage over the top of the cup, it would go. And I always think of that when I think of this great statement, my cup runneth over. God pours out such a blessing that we cannot contain it. In the presence of the enemies, here is the blessing of God. It can't be contained. What is the meaning? The meaning is when you are in the shepherd's flock, your life in this world is secure. Nothing can happen to your life that is not the will of the shepherd. And when we come to verse 6, we come to those wonderful words, surely, 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 goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days. No, not just on the Lord's Day. Not just on days when you seem to be particularly conscious of the Lord's Word and the Lord's presence, but all the days. All the days. Goodness and mercy. That faithfulness of the Lord, that faithfulness of the shepherd, he never stops watching over his sheep. They may wander off from him. They may become enamored of something that he has not provided, and they may wander off, but he never stops watching. He doesn't say, let them go. He goes after them. And in the words of verse 6, all the days of your life in this world, the shepherd is caring for you. And then your destiny is not in any doubt. The psalmist speaks of all the days of his life, but then he speaks about what comes after. Dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Here's the future. Here's the destiny that is secure. And what's the message? You can be at rest. You can live in satisfaction. Here's the enduring way of satisfaction. The Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that today? Is that your testimony? It's wonderful to read the words. I never get tired of them. I've been hearing them for over 50 years. I never get tired of them. But oh, to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that? Doesn't matter where you are in life's journey. You can be toward the end of life or toward the beginning of life as you think it to be. But you need to be able to say with the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd. If you can't say that, then today is the day for you. This is important. It's not a matter to be treated lightly. Today is the day for you to come and to say, until now, I've never known the Lord, but I want to be in the shepherd's flock. I want to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I call you to believe on Christ. I call you to trust in Him, not to depend on some experience. Not to depend on what others have told you, but to be able to come to Christ and say, I put my trust in you. And whatever it means, I want the Lord to be my shepherd. May God lead you today into this enduring way of satisfaction, where you walk always under the shepherd and know his comfort.